morning. I hope that the sessions went great earlier on today, and I'm very, very honored to be here. I don't feel worthy of it, but I'm thankful for the opportunity that the Lord has given to me. I started coming to this conference in 2006, and it has impacted my life in a tremendous way. I want to just personally thank Pastor Kenny for all his influence on me. I listened to his sermons, you know, thousands of times through, whether being at conferences or sermon audio or CDs that I've about burned up because I've listened to him so much. Certain sermons that he's preached, man, I've listened to him so many times, I almost have them memorized. Don't worry, I'm not going to preach one today, all right? But I'm so thankful for his impact on my life and his passion. And just to see him preach, that he's so committed and into it, that does something to my heart. And I'm thankful for him. I'm also thankful for the other speakers that have been here throughout the years. Pastor Siebel, so much wisdom, so much knowledge that you can learn from Pastor Siebel. And he's been a blessing to my heart over these years. And Brother Charlie Clark, Brother Mike Clark last night was tremendous. That was amazing. What he talked about, that God has put us in this time in history for our purpose. And that this is our time. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful for Pastor Mike Baldwin that's preached over the years. Pastor Lou Baldwin. Just impacted my life over the years, and I'm thankful for each message. I'm thankful for this conference, and to have the opportunity to be here and to preach to you guys is amazing to me. It blows my mind, but I'm just asking that the Lord would show up and that he would be lifted up and that he would draw us closer to him. Pastor Kenny mentioned it. I am thankful to have my wife here, Andrea. We were married just 2.5 months ago, and I'm so thankful for the Lord to provide me a godly wife and that we get to serve God together. It's a privilege of mine, and I'm so glad she's here, and also my mom. I love my mom, and my mom was a pastor's wife for 33 years, of one of the greatest men of God I've ever met, and he was my father. And then in 2008, almost 9 years ago, in a tragic plane accident, Lord took him home. But I tell you, I've always looked up to my mom and learned from her example, but in the last 9 years, I would say even more so, because she hasn't lost her joy. She's still serving God. She hasn't slowed down one bit. And in the toughest, darkest hour of her life, she's continued on serving the Lord through the valley. And that's a testimony to me, and I'm so thankful for her and that she was able to come today. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to what God's going to do for us today. And thank you for having me here. If you turn in your Bibles to John chapter number 2 in your Bibles, and then when you get there, if you'd stand for the reading of God's Word. John chapter number 2, John chapter 2 and verse number 5 is where we're going to begin reading in this passage today. John chapter 2 and verse number 5, the Bible says, "His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this opportunity that you've given to me, Lord. God, I am humbled and honored to be here. And God, I want to see you show up in a mighty way, Lord God, and that, God, you would get me out of the way and that you would be seen, that you would be lifted up, Lord, and God, that you would work on hearts today, God. They don't need to hear me. They need to hear from you. And God, I pray that through the preaching today that they would hear your voice through the preaching today, Lord, calling them and working on their hearts and working on their issues and the things that they're dealing with right now, Lord. I thank you for everyone that's here. Lord, I pray that you give me the right words and thoughts and spirit, Lord. I pray that, God, you would just help me to focus completely on you right now. And God, that you would fill me and give me the help that I need. Lord, I pray for everyone that's here, God, that they would listen, that they would pay attention, Lord, to your word, that, God, that you would give them something especially from your word for them today, Lord, that they can walk out of here knowing, not hoping, not wishing, but knowing exactly what they need to do for you, Lord. I pray that, God, that would be the case today, Lord, that we would walk out of here with a burden on our heart and with a mission on our mind, Lord, that we would know what we need to do for you and that there would be no question, no hesitation about it, Lord. I pray that you would do that for me and for all of us today. God, please lift yourself up in an amazing way, that you would be high and lifted up and that you draw all men unto yourself. Lord, we love you. Thank you for being a great God to us that we could never deserve. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I would say most, if not all of us, would know very well the story of Jesus' first miracle here during his earthly ministry. This is the marriage at Cana when Jesus turned the water into wine. And I would say, as I said, that we would be pretty familiar with the facts of this story. By the way, I'll get this out of the way right now. When the Bible says Jesus turned water into wine, we're not talking about alcoholic wine. We're talking about grape juice, okay? You say, well, how do we know that? Well, the wedding receptions, the marriage feasts of that day sometimes would go on a week or more. So these were extended periods of time. They weren't just what we're accustomed to, 2-3 hours, and then you go home, get the cake, get some food, and get out of there, you know? In this day and age, they would stretch these things out days and sometimes weeks. So in verse number 10, after the miracles perform, when the governor of the feast, the VIP, the guest of honor, I guess we could call him. Verse number 10, he's talking to the bridegroom. He said, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth a good wine, and then when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept a good wine until now. I would just like to submit to you that if Jesus was dealing with alcoholic wine, first of all, this would be violating his own command of the Old Testament that condemns a person for giving strong drink to his neighbor. But secondly, if they were drinking alcoholic wine, then they wouldn't have known the difference of what they were drinking at this point. If this was going on days and days and perhaps a week or more, and you could give them anything and they'd say, man, this is great. This proves that Jesus was giving them unfermented grape juice, that he was giving them the fruit of the vine and not alcoholic wine. I'll get that out of the way now so we don't have to deal with that anymore. Yet today, I would like to focus on some people in this story that played a crucial role in this story. But I would say even though they played a crucial role in this story, they're often overlooked. They don't get the headlines. They don't get the recognition. They don't get the publicity. They don't really get the buzz and the hype that some people do throughout the Bible. But without them, the work would not have been done. You know who that is? That's the servants. I don't know about you, but I think very often in Christianity, we get the wrong idea. And young people, I really want you to focus in on this right now, if you would. I think we get the wrong idea in Christianity many times. Let me tell you something. It's not about you being popular. It's not about you having a status or a position or a title or some letters after your name. It's not about you being a celebrity or famous all over fundamentalism. It's not about you being a star or showing off or being well known for something. I know I've been to a bunch of conferences over the years and I went to Bible college and I know the mentality that if we don't watch it, man, you think that if you're not on stage that you can't do anything for God. You think that if your name's not in the headlines, you can't do anything for God. And I want to tell you today, that's just not so. It's not about all those things. Listen, it's not about getting the Facebook likes and the Twitter retweets, if I can say it, and the YouTube views and getting your CDs sold and getting Bibles signed and having your name recognized and maybe books sold and people taking pictures with you. That's not what Christianity is about. You know what it's about? It's about being a servant. It's about being humble and obedient and submissive, doing things with the right motive, letting the love of Christ constrain us to do things for him. And it's about pleasing our Lord and our Master and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. It's not about the crowd being impressed with you. It's not about you hitting all the notes or preaching an alliterated sermon. My friend, it's about pleasing our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. And if we have all the other things, but we don't please him, we've missed it all. Paul says a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. He's basically saying it's just noise. It's just a waste of time. He must increase, but I must decrease. It's not about our will getting done. It's about his will getting done. And I would say today that a crucial yet often overlooked role in the church and in the work of God is played by servants. My mind travels to my church and some of the servants in Woodlawn Baptist Church, Pastor Kenny, you know, Brother Bob Ritchie, and just for year after year after year, just a faithful servant of God. He'll do anything for you. And so many others that have worked on the bus routes over the years. We've had people in Woodlawn that have worked on bus routes for 30 years. And even though they have maybe back trouble or knee trouble, that they've continued on. Chuck Webb and different other ones that are my heroes that I looked up to when I'm growing up. Without them, the work would not be accomplished. And I want to preach to you about being a servant today. I know it may not be the normal youth conference message. I know it may not be the thing that we maybe shout over a lot. But I'm convinced that if we don't get our mind right, if we don't get our heart right, if we don't have the mind of Christ, which is a submissive and humble, a servant's mind, listen, we're not going to accomplish the work of God in our day and age. Listen, we're too worried about getting on stage. We're too worried about the spotlights. We're too worried about the microphones and everyone being impressed and those taking pictures of us and getting their Bible signed by us. Listen, it's not about that. It's about being a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to preach to you about this thought today. Know your role. Know your role. Listen, our job is not to save anyone. Our job is not to save anyone. But our job is to do the work so that Jesus can save folks. Our job is, we can't change anybody. I can't change anybody. But the Lord Jesus Christ can, and I need to do the work that he's told me to do. Even though if I don't understand, even though it may be confusing at times, even though I may not see the results and say, Lord, what's going on here? I don't see anything happening. I just need to do what he's told me to do. Why? Because I need to know my role. I'm a servant. Amen. Amen. Young folks, let's know our role today. Let's learn it and learn it well. And by the way, it fits hand in hand with the message from last night, because being a servant, being humble is no excuse for doing nothing. Pastor Mike talked about it last night, that God's put us on this earth for such a time as this. He's given us this opportunity, this chance, and we can't just let it pass us by. Listen, so this is no excuse for doing nothing for the Lord and say, well, I just don't want to show off. I don't want to be proud about it. Listen, you need to step up and you need to do what God's called you to do. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify you. No, your Father which is in heaven. Listen, you need to step up. If God's working on your heart about getting involved, you get involved. If God's working on your heart about teaching or preaching or helping out or getting involved or picking up trash or working on a route or inviting people to church, listen, you need to do that. But when you do that, the glory is not yours, it's his. Amen. Know your role. Know your role. Listen, if you never get up on stage, will you still serve God? Yeah. If you never get a solo, will you still serve God? Yeah. If people never know your name, will you still serve God? Yeah. Are you serving him for the publicity that he'll give you, the attention that he'll give you? Sometimes we may not be serving the Lord. We're serving ourselves, trying to promote ourselves if we don't watch it. Let's know our role today. You say, well, Brother Tom, what is the role of a servant? I want you to see, first of all, a servant receives orders. He receives orders. Verse number 7, if you look at it with me. The Bible says, Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they fill them up to the brim. And then verse number 8, and he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. Two commands that Jesus gives them here. Two orders. The first one is fill the water pots with water. The second one is draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. These are simple commands. He says, go fill these water pots up. We can understand that. Nothing mysterious about that. And then secondly, he says, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. After they fill the water pots and they bring them back in, he says, take a cup and scoop some water out and take it to the guest of honor. Very simple commands. Listen, can you take orders? Can you take commands from the Lord Jesus Christ? I would say if you want to take commands from him, first of all, you have to be in a position to hear. Listen, if you're not in church, if you're not in your Bible, if you're not on your knees, if you're not talking to the Lord and in all your ways acknowledging him, he's not going to direct your paths. Listen, the Lord's calling. We're just not listening most of the time. You got to be in a position to hear. You know what these servants were? They were close to Jesus. Are you today? Listen, you got to be in church if you want to hear his commands. You got to be tuned in while you're in church. By the way, if the devil's, I believe, main objective on Sundays is to keep us out of church, right? But if you do so happen to overcome that and you show up church, I think his secondary plan is, even though you're here, maybe he can distract you. and get you to waste your time in the house of God. Listen, when it's time to go to church, it's not time to play games. It's not time to talk to friends. It's not time to worry about what everyone else thinks. It's time to listen to the voice of God and have Him talk to us. Thank you, sir. And have Him work in our lives. You got to be in a position to hear close to Jesus. By the way, He's going to command you from His word. The Bible says, order my steps in thy word. Listen, He's going to order you through His word. You got to be in a position to hear. I would say also, though, you have to have a posture to heed. You say, what are you talking about? You got to be receptive. You got to be receptive. You got to be teachable. You got to be wanting to learn. I'm no expert whatsoever, but I've preached long enough that I've seen different reactions from people. I've seen some people you preach to and they could care less. Just to say it bluntly, they could care less. They want you to shut up. They don't care what you say. It doesn't matter. They're not going to listen whatever you say. Careless. I've seen other people, you preach certain things, they get bowed up. They get mad. They get insulted. They get offended. How dare he say that? By the way, if the preacher says it, it comes from the word of God. He didn't say it. God said it. So take it up with him. They get bowed up. They get mad. They get insulted and offended. Some people think they know it all already. They kind of give you this look, critiquing your message. By the way, when you show up at youth conference or you show up Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, it's not time to critique the message and the preacher and say, I don't know if that illustration really fit under that third point. That's not your job. You know what your job is? Here's some orders from God. Be in a position to hear. Be close to Christ. Have a posture to heed. The Bible talks about in Acts that the people received the word with all readiness of mind. Are you ready to hear from God? They received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh in us that believe. Listen, don't take it as the word of man. Don't take it as opinion. Take it as the very words of God. You need to receive your orders. You need to be in a position to hear. Have a posture to heed. I want you to notice this. The particulars that they heard. Notice in, again, verse number 7, the two commands. Fill the water pots with water. Verse number 8, draw out now and bear unto the governor the feast. The particulars that they heard. I want you to see, first of all, Christ has declared it. Now, this wasn't their mom. This wasn't their dad. This wasn't their preacher. This wasn't someone important in their life. This was Christ that declared it. And Jesus said it, and I believe that's important. The Bible talks about in Matthew chapter 7 that Jesus taught with authority, not as the scribes, that they were astonished at his doctrine. They were blown away because when Jesus spoke, there was something important about that. Listen, one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. When he speaks, we should listen. Jesus says, if you belong to me, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Listen, if you know the Lord, there ought to be something that intrinsically you hunger, you crave to hear from your master. Christ has declared it, and he called to them directly. It says, Jesus saith unto them, verse number 8, he saith unto them. I would say that he addressed it specifically to them. You ever come to church, and you hear something from behind the pulpit, and you think, that's me right there. I hope it hasn't been a long time for some of us. I know sometimes that happens with me and I don't like it. Listen, I want to come in the house of God and say, God, I need something for me today. I need you to call my name. I need you to call me out. I need help with my issues. God, I need you working in me right now. Christ declared it. He called to them directly. But you say, Brother Tom, how do I know if I'm getting my orders? Well, I like this one. It caused them to do something. I said it caused them to do something. Listen, we don't have youth conference just so that you can come and soak it in. We don't have youth conference that you can just get together and have a good time. We don't have youth conference just so you can hear the preaching or hear the lessons or the sessions. You can hear the wisdom and the truth from these men of God. We don't just have it for that. We come so that you can receive your orders. You know what an order is? It's a specific command for immediate action from your master. It's a specific command from your master for immediate action. Bible says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. Listen, I think sometimes we can just go through conference after conference after conference after youth conference and think we're doing fine, but we haven't done anything in our lives to change.
Bible says, be doers of the word, not just hearers. Proverbs chapter 1, Solomon said to his son, turn you at my reproof. Turn you. You know what he's saying? There needs to be a change of direction. There needs to be something that happens. There needs to be an adjustment in your course. Listen, some of us, we hear preaching about the right kind of music. We hear preaching about the right kind of friends. We hear preaching about living for God, but we say, oh, that's good preaching. Thanks, Pastor. I really needed that. But we continue in the course that we were already on. Proverbs says, turn you at my reproof. Make a change. Listen, young people, if we continue in sin and expect grace to abound, Romans chapter 6 says, God forbid. It's the strongest way of denouncing that and saying, no way. Listen, we can't continue on. Listen, none of us has arrived. None of us is perfect. So when we show up to the house of God, are you hearing some orders from God? Listen, it should be that God so impresses on our heart and burns things in our heart. Man, I want this for my life. That when I'm sitting in the pew, I'm listening to the preaching, that God's bringing things to my mind. You've got to give out a tract to that person. You've got to pray for that person. You've got to read that passage. You've got to invite that person to church. You've got to get serious in this area of your life. You've got to go witness to that person. May it be that specific and that open and that direct with us. That we don't just walk out of church and say, oh, it's fine. It was okay. What they preach about? God. Not good enough. Not good enough. Would it be that we run down to this altar and say, God, you got to help me with this specific area of my life. Amen. I'm getting my orders. By the way, in the military, if a commander gives you an order, there's no question about that. There's no debating about it. Say, well, you see, commander, I don't really, uh-uh. He tells you to do it. He expects it done immediately. And why do we bargain with God? Be in a position to hear, have a posture to heed the particulars they heard. And then I want you to also notice, they had a perspective of humility. Now, I could be wrong about this, but verse number 5, Mary kind of lends her support to Christ and say, hey, guys, whatever, the servants, whatever he says unto you, do it. I take that to mean that perhaps they didn't know Christ very well. Maybe they knew Mary better than her son, Jesus Christ. But she says, guys, whatever he says to you, do it. By the way, that's a good encouragement for us today. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. But you know what they could have thought? I don't know who this guy is. Who does he think he is? Go fill the water pots with water. You want to try it? That's what they could have thought. Jesus, do you know how long I've been serving at this house? I've been doing this a long time. I got a routine. I got a schedule. I know what I'm doing here. They could have, hey, I'm a pro at this. But they were humble. Some of us have been in church so long, we think we know it all. Lord, I got it figured out. Impress the right people. When the pastor's around, smile a lot. You know, when you walk in church, say brother and sister a lot. I got this figured out, Lord. Could it be that we need to humble ourselves today? Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. David said, I have esteemed all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. You know what he's saying? Before I even hear it, if it comes from the Bible, I agree with it. I don't even know what he's going to say yet, but if it comes from the Bible, I agree with it. Wow. You know what their reaction was? They didn't verbalize it, but what their reaction was? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Could it be that next time the Lord comes to you telling you something specific that you need to do in your life, your reaction is, yes, sir. Immediately, here am I, send me. And there needs to be a personal handling. Can you take orders? Can you handle the truth? Proverbs says, rebuke a wise man, he'll love you. Yeah. Rebuke a scorner, he'll hate thee. You ever try to rebuke a scorner? I have. They hate you. It's tense. Say, hey man, I think you need it. Man, get out of my face with that. I know what I'm doing. Young people, listen. When people come to you and try to counsel you, they're trying to help you. They're trying to point you in the right direction for your life. What kind of reaction do you have? I've also been on the other side of that where I've rebuked a wise man and he's loved me. I say, hey, man, you need to watch out for this. Man, thank you, Brother Tom. I appreciate that. That's a joy to have. May we have more young people like that in this room today. And less that when you tell them what they need to do, then those kind of reactions. Rolling their eyes. Man, you're always getting on my case. Listen, they're telling you because they love you. They're speaking the truth in love. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Are you receiving your orders today? If we were to stop you when you're exiting the auditorium today and say, hey, what are your orders? What did God tell you today? What has God told you through this conference this week? Pastor Seaver, on Wednesday night, God gave me some orders. Listen, I need to love God more than any person, any plan, any possession in my life. Man, those are some orders. I hear Pastor Mike last night and talking about God has put me in this place in history, this time for a particular purpose. Man, that fires me up, and I don't want to wait. I don't want to let it pass by. I don't want to waste it. I don't want to wreck my life. That's some orders. Have you received your orders? Number one. Number two. Not only did they receive their orders, they responded in obedience. They responded in obedience. Verse number 7 again, Jesus says, fill the water pots with water. And immediately it says, and they fill them up to the brim. Verse number 8, and he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. Immediately they did what Christ said. There was no objections listed. Immediately they took action. Immediately they took care of business. Again, could it be that when you leave here today, you said, immediately I got to go do something for God. I've got this track. I've got to give it to somebody. I've got to witness to someone. I've got to pray. I've got to get in my Bible again. I've got to have God speak to me, and I've got to obey him in my life. That song says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Listen, if we don't obey the Lord, what are we doing? I know it's not always easy, but we need to do what he says. There were no objections listed. And they obviously listened. I mean, these guys fulfilled specific, detailed instructions that Christ gave to them. You ever tell somebody to do something, they come back with something completely different? Like, hey, man, get this for me. And they come back, like, what is this? This is not what I need. I don't want this. Get this out of here. I told you to do this. Or, I thought you said, yeah, because you weren't listening. Right? These guys came back and they had fulfilled specific instructions and commands that Christ had given to them. Listen, are you paying attention in church? Are you hearing the detailed instructions? There were no objections listed. They obviously listened and they obeyed the Lord. They did what he said. My friend, are you doing what Christ said? You can come to conference and we can have a great time. We can have a lot of fun, a lot of excitement, and I'm for every bit of it. But are you going to do what God says? We just were in Kentucky last week at another youth conference, great conference down there, Shawnee Baptist Church. And man, we had our group, and God's really worked in our young people, especially this summer, and I'm very, very thankful for it. Some of the guys you'll see tonight, God's been working in their hearts, and they're becoming leaders, Pastor Sebro, and that's exciting to me. But I told the guys last week as we're kneeling down, praying, and talking about things, I said, guys, we know what we need to do. God has loaded us up, message after message, truth after truth. It's time we do something with it. And I would say that applies to most in this room today. You know what you're supposed to do. I know what I'm supposed to do. We need to do something with it. Listen, it's not that we're ignorant. It's not that we're naive. It's not that most people say, am I supposed to read my Bible today? I don't know. Am I supposed to pray? I'm not sure. Where am I supposed to be Sunday? I'm not sure. We know what we're supposed to do. But how many of you know knowing what to do and doing it is two completely different things? Listen, we need some young people to step up and do what God has said. In Luke chapter 6, this verse strikes me every time I read it. Luke chapter 6, verse 47. You don't have to turn there, but listen to it. Jesus said to some people, he said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Listen to that again. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You know what he's basically saying? Why do you give me all this lip service and say, oh, Lord, we love you so much, and then he tells you to do something. You say, nope. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Listen, we need to receive our orders. I hope you're receiving some orders this week, specific commands from your master for immediate action. I hope you're responding in obedience. They had no objections listed. They obviously listened. They fulfilled the detailed instructions. They obeyed the Lord. They did what he said. And how about this? Verse number 7. And Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. You know what that is? That's the top level. That's the top edge. You know what I call that? They outdid themselves in their labor. They outdid themselves. I mean, they gave their all. They went a little extra here. They gave their all to this. They filled it up to the brim. I don't know about you if I'm one of those servants. These are stone water pots. I think of, if you ever seen like a nice fancy hotel or something, they have these huge planters. This is a small one, but these huge planters outside the front doors. That's kind of the image that I get of these water pots, stone water pots. These things are heavy. And we can just take the weight of the stone out of it. It says they contained, at the end of verse number 6, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. That's between 18 and 27 gallons, each one of them. There are 6 of them. So, Brother Justin, these things, just the water alone, weighed between 144 and 216 pounds. I don't know about you. If Jesus says, go fill up the water pots, I'd be like, got you, Lord. I'll do it. All right, that's good. Right? How about you? You've been there all day. You've been there all week working. Servants are not treated so great in Bible times, right? And he says, go fill up the water pots. Man, I've done it halfway. Say, he don't know the difference. I don't know who this guy is anyway. But these guys went the extra mile. They filled it up to the brim. They outdid themselves in their labor. They filled it up to the brim. You know what we need to do in Christianity? Stop half filling our service for God. Stop half filling our service for God. Some of us, yeah, we're doing what God says, but we're giving half a heart to it. We're half stepping in it. We're just doing it because it's the routine, because we have to, because we're expected to, because if we don't, then we'll get barked at by someone. But we're not giving our best to it. Could it be that you're not seeing the results in your life and the miracles in your life because you're half filling what God's told you to do? The Bible says, whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with thy might. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. By the way, you know what that word weary, let us not be weary in well-doing? You know what it means? Spiritless. Spiritless. You know what that means? We don't put anything into it. It's not talking about weary like, oh man, I'm tired. Whew. Long day. It's not talking about that kind of weary. It's talking about spiritless, that we just completely unplug ourselves from it and just say, I'll do it. I'll be a robot. I'll give out tracts. I'll talk to people about the Lord, but I'm not putting anything into it. Let's not be weary in well-doing. We need to serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Listen, whatever we do, we need to do all for the glory of God. Bible says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Listen, outdo yourself in the work of the Lord. What can you do? What can you challenge yourself with and say, you know what? I can grow in this. I can do more in this. I can read more. I can pray more. I can challenge myself to give out more tracts. I can invite more people to church. I can stand better for God in my public school or in my Christian school. I can do more, and I can give my all to it. Know your role today. Your role number one is to receive orders. Your role number two is to respond in obedience. And I want you to see this lastly. When you receive your orders and you respond in obedience, number three, you play a role in the outstanding. You play a role in the outstanding. Verse number 9, I love this verse. So after the servants get their orders in verses 7 and 8 and obey at the end of verses 7 and 8, verse 9 comes around. When the ruler of the feast, again, this is the guest of honor, most important guy at this wedding. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was main wine, I like this next phrase, and knew not whence it was. He didn't know where it came from. He didn't know if they ran out down to Walmart or Giant and got it. He didn't know where it came from. But the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom, saying unto him, every man at the beginning shall set forth the good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. There was a miracle that took place right there. Listen, and the servants were the ones that, at least initially, they were the only ones that knew about it. Whoo, I like that. Listen, they played a role in the outstanding. They had a simple job. Just go fill the water pots up. Just dip out some and take it to the guest of honor. And I don't know about you, but if I'm the servants right now and I know that the wedding reception, we've run out of grape juice, we want to run out of wine, and Jesus says, go fill up the water pots, that's a little strange to me. I say, we don't need water, we need wine, sir, right? You ever have a problem in your life and the Lord says, read your Bible, pray, be faithful to church, listen to godly counsel, get rid of that music, and you think, I don't see how that fits together. You don't need to. I don't need to. We just need to do what he says. They were simple jobs. Go fill the water pots up, draw it out, and take it to the governor of the feast. And sometimes we think our efforts for the Lord are an absolute waste. I mean, Lord, what are we doing here? I mean, these kids don't listen. I preach and I give them my heart and my soul and everything, and they don't listen. I'm trying to give out these tracts. People don't want them. I'm trying to invite people, and Lord, it seems like no one cares. Feels like that sometimes. They had a simple jobs, but you know what these simple jobs did? They set the stage for Christ's spectacular work. You know what he says today? What Christ is telling us to do today? You do what you're supposed to do. I call that menial tasks. Menial just means it's lowly, it's degrading, it's not really significant, it's not a real showy job. It's menial. You just do what you're supposed to do, the menial task, and let Jesus do what only he can do. That's called a miracle. You do the menial task. Listen, you go, you do what you need to do. You fulfill what Christ has called you to do. It may not seem big. It may not seem important. It may not seem impressive or spectacular to people, but you just do what he's called you to do and let Christ get involved and do what only he can do. Amen. And perform the miracle. Listen, it's not your job to save anybody. It's not your job to change anybody. It's not your job to heal anybody. It's not your job to comfort anybody. But the menial task that God has called us to do, he can use those small things that we do to work in the greater plan of God for our lives and affect people that we could never affect on our own. Listen, you can't save anybody, but you can pass out tracts. And God can use that to save people. Listen, you can't heal anyone, but you can pray. You can pray, you can fall down on your knees and ask God to do things, and God can use those small efforts, those seemingly insignificant. Listen, if the world looks at what we do, they would say, what are you guys doing? You are wasting your time. But you know what? We don't listen to them. We listen to what he says. And he tells us our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Listen, you keep passing out those tracts. You keep praying those prayers. You keep showing up to youth conference. You keep tuning in and asking God to speak to your heart. You keep saying, God, use me, use me, use me. And let God take those small efforts and God do something spectacular through it. Amen. You do what you're supposed to do. You do the menial tasks and you let Christ do what only he can do. You let him do the miracles. You say, well, I can't figure out how I'm supposed to live my life and I don't know the will of God for my life. Can you pay attention? Can you pay attention when men of God are explaining to you wisdom and truth from the Word of God that'll help you guide your life and help God direct your path? Can you pay attention?
Yeah.
Hey, you can't figure out from A to Z what God wants you to do right now. Neither can I, but I can pay attention.
Amen.
You can do small things around the church. You can pick up trash. You say, what is that going to do? Well, I'll tell you what it could do. On the other hand, if someone walks in church, a visitor, and they see trash on the floor and that we don't care, they may say, man, I'm not going to pay attention. I may stay for service, but it's obvious these people don't care about God. So I'm going to tune the preacher out. I'll set through the hour, hour and a half, and walk out those doors and never come back. But you can do something as small as picking up trash. And someone may see that and say, you know what? This means something to these people. This is real. And because of that, they tune in to what the preacher says. And as he's preaching the gospel about how Jesus died for their sins, they'll listen to it. And because of that small thing, that very insignificant thing, listen, I don't know about you, Pastor Kenny, I've never gotten applauded for picking up trash. I've never gotten applauded, Brother Justin, for giving out tracts. I never get, hey, can I give you this from my church? And whole cheering section from my church. Say, go ahead, Brother Thomas. You know, doesn't work like that. It's something small. It's something insignificant. But God can use it.
Amen.
Listen, maybe just through your attitude or your friendliness or your faithfulness, God can do something amazing, something outstanding. I tell you something I love about Crossroads Baptist Church. Every time you walk in, people are friendly to you. Every time. Man, that gets you ready for the service. That gets you ready for the preaching. Wow. I appreciate that. Listen, those may be small things. You may never stand behind the pulpit. You may never have a microphone in your face. You may never be singing a solo. You may never have the spotlight shining down on you. Your picture may not ever be on the video board, but God can use those small things to bring forth a miracle in someone's life. Let's never look down on the work of God, thinking that is not important. Verse number 9 says that this guest of honor in the wedding reception, he didn't know where this wine came from, but the servants knew. You know what that tells me? They got to see the miracle for themselves. They got a front row seat for Christ doing some miracles. How about that? The first miracle that Jesus did during his earthly ministry. These guys got to be in on it. Man, I want to be in on it when God's doing stuff. I want to be in on it. Listen, it's great anytime someone gets saved. Praise God. All heaven rejoices. But you know what? I think it means a little bit more to you if you had a small part of it. Woo, it's great anytime that a prayer is answered and God does something amazing. But man, it's really something when you had a small part of that and you say, Lord, I prayed some of them prayers. Thank you, Lord. It means something extra to you. Listen, I think these servants were pretty excited about what Christ did that day.
Yeah.
That guest of honor, he didn't know where it came from. In fact, he gives credit to the wrong guy. He gives credit to the bridegroom. He says, man, this is the best stuff you had the whole time. And Andrea, we know from getting married a couple months ago, smile and wave, like, right? You're like, thank you so much. All right, see ya. What's he talking about? I don't know. This guy's clueless. Listen, that bridegroom didn't do anything to make this water wine, but Christ did. And the servants knew about it. You know who this miracle was revealed to? The servants. I think the same thing happens today. Listen, you know who gets to see the miracles? The servants.
That's right.
They got to see it. They were the first to know what happened. And then the last thing, young people, the Savior receives the praise, not the servants.
Yeah.
I don't see anywhere in this passage where we're glorifying the servants, where we're lifting them up. You know why? Because we don't deserve any accolades. Because really what we do is not anything that special. But God can take our insignificant, menial efforts and play a part in the miraculous working of God on people's hearts and lives. Let me tell you something. It may not get all the publicity. It may not get all the attention. People may not know your name. But it gets the work of God done. You know what we need out of Youth Conference 2017? Brother Kenny, not people to sign up to boss everybody around. Not people to say, oh, get all the attention, the spotlight on me, and have everybody laugh at my joke. Oh, yeah, sign me up for that, Pastor Kenny. I'm surrendering to that ministry. You know what we need? Some servants that know your role. You come in church and you receive your orders. You open your Bible, you receive your orders. You respond in obedience. Whatever God tells you to do, you say, Lord, I may not understand. It may not make sense to me. But God, I'm going to obey you. And because you received your orders, respond in obedience, you can play a role in the outstanding. I don't know if you notice, but it's 2,000 years later. We're still talking about these servants. Their name may not be recorded, but guess what? They're heroes of mine. Because that's what I want to be. Hey, and it's a struggle sometimes. I'm so thankful for the encouragement and the lessons we can learn from these servants. You know what you need at 2017 Youth Conference, Crossroads Baptist Church? Know your role. Be a servant. And God can use the small things that you do to play a part in his miraculous working on people's hearts and lives. He can change people in an amazing way, and you can have a part of it. What a mighty God we serve. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to open your word. Oh God, please help us. God, please help us not to get our focus off on things that don't matter, on getting attention, on being popular, on having a status, on having a title and position behind our name. Oh God, would you call out some servants today? You say, why should I be a servant? Be a servant for Jesus' sake. Jesus was a servant. Let's all stand to our feet. If God spoke to your heart today in any area through the message, why don't you come and do business with him? Come and do business with him today. Say, Lord, I want to be a servant. I want to know my role. Anybody that would say, Brother Tom, that spoke to me. God spoke to me about being a servant today. Would you raise your hand? God spoke to me about that today. Praise the Lord. Would there be anybody in the entire room that says, I don't know for sure that if I die today that I would end up in heaven, but I know, listen, I know that I don't want to end up in hell. Listen, you can't be God's servant until you're in his family. Is there anyone in here that says, I don't know for sure I'd end up in heaven, but I know I don't want to go to hell. If that's you, would you raise your hand? We just want to pray for you. Okay, come there. Appreciate that. Anyone else? I'm not sure if I were to die today that I would go to heaven. I know I don't want to go to hell.
Folks are praying on the altar. You just take as much time as you need. Know your role. By the way, I can't be a good pastor if I'm not a servant. I can't be a good husband if I'm not a servant. Can't be a good father. All over this building are people who've been serving. They haven't been on the platform. They're not getting paid to do it.